word. Now, here's Pastor Murray.
All right, good day to you. God bless you. Welcome to the Shepherd's Chapel. Welcome to this family Bible study hour. Happy New Year to everyone. I'll tell you, we're going to talk about current events a little bit as they apply to Revelation chapter 13. You see, as a watchman, you want to learn how to watch current events as they apply to what your Father says will come to pass. Because you know something? That's exactly as it shall be. Therefore, you stay synchronized, if you would, with our Father's plan. And you must recognize where you are, who you are, where you're going, and what it is your Father would have you do before the Word truly becomes meaningful to you. So, with that thought in mind, we ask a word of wisdom from our Father, and we're going to continue, if you would, the kind of the topic of the last lecture, only we're going to take it into a national sense. What does God's Word say will happen just before the false, the spurious Messiah, the son of perdition, appear on this earth? We have evil spirits down throughout the ages, but Satan was locked, if you would, by Michael. Only he who letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. Remember the transitive verb from the last lecture? I hope you remember it. It is extremely important. And at that time, Satan's evil spirits, in other words, perhaps we could say it this way, and I hope this doesn't offend anyone, for every negative there's a positive. We do not have Christ de facto walking on this earth today to and fro. Why? He's on the throne. He's at the right hand of God. So it is then that as we have the Holy Spirit that is able to traverse this dispensation, so it is with the evil spirits. In other words, God is fair. And he intends that people, using their free will and discernment, be able to love him, love our Father, that is. And to be able, inasmuch as he has given you power and authority over all your enemies, including Satan, that, hey, you should be able to handle it. You should be able to cut it. You should be a can-do type person. That's what Father expects you to be, and that's why you see me strike out at people that try to make second-class citizens out of Christians. I won't stand for it. All right? Now, so with that thought in mind, let's ask the question then, what does God's Word say? And we could go to many places. I have simply chosen Revelation 13 because it's such a popular chapter about end times. All right? With that thought in mind and a word of wisdom from our Father, let's go into this 13th chapter. And let's understand the chronological order of events that must transpire before Satan sets foot on this earth, de facto. Okay? Chapter 13 and verse 1. And I stood upon the sand of the sea, and I saw a beast rise up out of the sea, having seven heads and ten horns, and upon his horns ten crowns, and upon his head the name of blasphemy. And if you would let your mind revolve back to 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, this is speaking of the political system that the son of perdition would utilize to enthrone himself. That is to say, take power on Mount Zion. Now, God, as if any of you that have listened to my tape on the Mark of the Beast, which is an introductory tape to this ministry, basically, you're familiar with this scripture and the scriptures we'll be covering today. But what does it mean? Let's really analyze it, and then let's take a look at the world today and analyze it to see whether or not it would align with this. Now, As you've heard me say many times, God doesn't deal in something that some creature that's unnatural, all right? So, therefore, he's not talking about an animal or a beast rising out of the sea. He's talking about a political system. And he declares that in the 17th chapter. I'm going to just turn there real quickly. I insist that you know this verse, to know what this sea, what this water is that this political system or that rises from. Okay? And it states in the 15th verse of the 17th chapter, which is descriptive of both the harlot that is led astray, called Old Sister Babylon, Babylon meaning confusion, that is to say, those peoples who are confused by the appearance of the son of perdition. The son of perdition has been given in the 11th and 12th verse, 1 hour. That 1 hour period we know from Revelation 9 is a 5 month period, a very short season when he is cast to this earth. But it's important, now back to the sea, that this rises from. Why is that important? So that you know where to look for it. All right, that's very important. Verse 15, and he said unto me, the waters which thou sawest where the whore sitteth are peoples and multitudes and nations and tongues. In other words, it's the people of the world. All nations, all tongues, all colors. In other words, this one world political system rises from a worldwide contingency. Now, the seven heads, as will be declared in a later chapter, and we're not going there, is seven dominions, with ten rulers being the head of the one world system. Now, this has really made a lot of the funny bunny, unlearned prognosticator preacher daddies, super dudes, say, I want to be nice to them today. This is, you know, with a new year coming and everything. The super dudes say, well, that's the European common market. Yeah. Why? Well, there's 10. Well, there's more than 10 now, super dude. Many more than 10. And it's in the first place, if you're wise, you know that the one world system is exactly that. It doesn't cover Europe. And in the second place, Europe is not our enemy. When you begin looking for an enemy, begin to look where God states they will be, and the Kenite, which is our enemy, which being the children of Satan, if you know where they are, you're going to know where their pappy comes home to, all right? So, quite simply, what has it said? It said, out of the multitudes of people, the people being the waters of the world, there's so many of them. With the last count, it's been over a year ago, there were over 5 billion, 5 billion, yeah, over 5 billion people walking this earth today. Hey, that's a sea of people. That's a sea of nations. And from this, you're going to see the entire population of, let's just take it by people, 5 billion, you're going to see them divided into seven dominions. We could even say there are seven continents, and there are. However, there just happens to be one of those continents that doesn't have anything on it, maybe but seagulls, okay, or seals or something. So, quite frankly, common sense would allocate the ruling party to populated lands. So, it simply means seven dominions. There will be 10 leaders that will be appointed, and they will call it probably the New World Order. Right? Have you ever heard of the New World Order? Sure you have. And it came into being in our past year, maybe a little before. New World Order. And now you have a new president coming in that in his campaign is going to make a new covenant. Do you remember that? You want to pay attention, my friend. God makes things so very clear that a person really must be sound asleep to miss the importance on the play of words when our Father is putting food in the minds of those that are familiar with the events that our Father states, not maybe, but shall come to pass. So when you look around yourself today, you can just scratch the European common market, and I have nothing against the European common market. It's simply a way that those particular countries try to protect themselves from in the markets. All right, that's it. But it has nothing to do with this political system we're talking about here. But when you mention the United Nations, and when you mention the New World Order, many people, your prognosticators in the media, will, because they had to make things go down, well, things haven't gone down. They've gotten much better, simply as the past administration stated they would. I mean, it's happening. It's in place. But God's in control, and things will continue as they are. And as you look around the world, hey, the New World Order is healthy, wealthy, and very wise in the ways of the world, and just doing fantastic. All right? You stick around a few months, and whatever you do, don't go to sleep. So, our Father tells us, I'm going to have the people of the world divide into seven dominions, and they're going to appoint 10 rulers, and you're going to have a political system here that will rule, basically make the major decisions of the world. Well, I hope that you have noticed the furtherance in this past year of the World Court. The World Court has been around for quite some time, but it didn't have any teeth. There was a precedent set this year. And quite frankly, at the moment, it escapes my mind. I remember on my Reuters wire service, but it escapes my mind. It doesn't matter. There was a precedent set by the World Court and teeth behind it. And as the United Nations New World Order continues its solidification, it would seem that most every nation now is quite well trained that if it has a complaint, it runs to the United Nations to file its complaint. The resolution is passed, and here we go. Everything done through the United Nations. Now, really, there's very little new about this. If you only knew, I fought in the Korean War, and some of my citations, medals, have on the back, when you turn them over and look, in the service of the United Nations. So you see, the United Nations backing peace on earth and police the world is not a new thing at all. So look around you, stay alert. Now let's go on to the next point, verse 2. And the beast which I saw was like unto a leopard, and his feet were as the feet of a bear, and his mouth as the mouth of a lion, and the dragon, what the dragon gave him his power, his seat, and great authority. The old dragon is Satan, the old devil, the serpent, the preceding chapter, chapter 12, verse 9, documents that fact, all right? I will say it again, the 12th chapter, verse 9, documents the fact that that the dragon is Satan. I'll just read it for you, if I may. And the great dragon was cast out of heaven, all right? That old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world, he was cast out, all right? So, there you have it. Now, what is the leopard? What is the leopard? Well, the leopard has spots. Have you not read Deuteronomy 32, their spots are not our spots? Have you ever heard of the four beasts that stood up in the great book of Daniel in chapter 7, verse 6. Oh, don't let it throw you. All these indications are, go there, look, and it will focus in and give you a blow-up, an enlargement of that power structure. And allow me to quite simply say it is simply Satan's control of this world, because he is the prince of the hour. There should be no great surprise to a Christian to know that through the four hidden dynasties, Satan kind of has his own little balance when it comes to the political culture. Verse 3. And I saw one of this is the next major step to the appearance of Antichrist. So sharpen up. And I saw one of his heads, as it were, wounded to death, and his deadly wound was healed, and all the world wondered after the beast. Now, that happens, my friend, the wounding and the healing in one verse, one short verse, meaning in a very short period of time. Now, Satan will heal this by what? By making his appearance. By performing miracles that we read of in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Right on this world, right on this in this generation, all these events will happen as it's declared and very scriptural in the 13th chapter of Mark during the generation of the fig tree. The fig tree was set in motion in the year 1948, so it has a lot of time on it as we move forward to the solidification. You know, there might surprise some, but I have been teaching this since almost every year since the year 1948. And looking forward to the so-called New World Order, and many people would say, no, there is no way there'll be a New World Order where all nations will be together. The United States would never allow such a thing. And it's in New York City that tower of the great UN sits. You know, it has come to pass. And when I see these events come to pass, it thrills my heart. For I know, not thrills my heart to know that there is a new world order, but it thrills my heart that my father has stated there would be a new world order. And de facto it is, all right? So how would he heal this? Well, let's continue on. Let's find out here. How would he heal? In other words, now let's synchronize our minds so that we don't get lost in this now. And it's this fact. How does a political system receive a deadly wound? It isn't by some man necessarily receiving a wound. It means the political system. Now, you're not going to understand our Father's word if you don't follow in this. The system must receive a deadly wound. Well, how does that happen? A huge disagreement can cause that. Many things can cause deadly wound. We have Russia holding together today by a thread, and I do mean a thread, and you that I'm not going into it, it would be a digression, and we do not have the time. But you that follow the economy in Russia as well as the power structure politically, you know it is by one thread, and that thread has ravels in it. Do you know what I mean? It's worn. But it will hold, I assure you, until a certain point. Now, common sense tells you from the Ezekiel 38 and 39th chapters, that is Rush or Rosh coming against this nation and the rest of the world, that there will be a change, and that in itself could be that that causes the deadly wound. But when the son of perdition, and there is only one son of perdition at this time. It's not up for grabs as to who he is. There's only been one child of God, and that is Satan, already sentenced to death. That's what son of perdition means, the son that shall perish. No judgment day for him. His conviction is already in hand. And we continue, verse 4. And they worshiped the dragon, which gave power unto the beast, the political system. And they worshiped the beast, saying, who is like unto the beast, and who is able to make war with him? World peace. A world controlled actually by the dragon. You'll find out in a moment why. Verse 5, and there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given in him unto him to continue 42 months. Months is night. Prophecies having to do with you, God's children, as given in days, 1,360 days. It wouldn't be given as an example in 42 months. Verse 6, and he opened his mouth in blasphemy against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. Now, that lets you know, number one, he's not in heaven. He's on earth. As a matter of fact, you know from 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 that he's in the tabernacle of God on Mount Zion, the son of perdition is, claiming to be God. That is blasphemy. And that's why you want to be very careful when you're so-called super dude preacher encourages you to accept the first Messiah that sets foot on this earth, that is to say in the future sense, because he's Antichrist. He's false. And this prophecy shall come to pass exactly as it's written. If you only allow the word to flow rather than listening to some student of commentaries, and commentaries are nothing but the traditions of men, men's opinions about the scripture. You study the scripture and leave the commentaries for someone else. This is why I insist on the Companion Bible. It does not have a commentary. It has a side column that only gives identification as to figures of speech, Hebrew idioms, and things in the languages that you would not know unless you were actually reading the Hebrew manuscripts. Verse 7. And it was given unto him to make war with the saints. Who are the saints? God's elect. And to overcome them, and power was given him over all kindreds and tongues and nations. In other words, it will be a de facto one world power. But he will overcome them politically, not religiously. And you must understand that. The subject being politics here. As it is written in the 11th chapter of Daniel, they shall even sway and stumble. The word in the Hebrew in no wise can be used as death, but it says the Holy Spirit will hold them up. There is a time coming when we will stand against the fiery darts of Satan with the gospel armor on and in place. And some might say, what do you mean on and in place? Well, belted with the Word of God. How are you doing? You got your belt on? That means you are familiar with the Word of God, or you're not dressed. Got it? That's why we study. Not some commentary written by men. I'll tell you, you use that for a belt and you're going to lose your britches, friend, because commentaries will not hold as the scriptures hold. I wish I could say I knew of one commentary I could recommend that would not mislead anyone. I know of none. You must make your own mind up. You must stop listening to traditions of men. There are helps, but they all trip, and they all fall in the pit in one place or another. God's scriptures will never mislead you. Stick with them. All right. Now, verse 8, and all that dwell upon the earth shall worship him, whose, there is a qualifier here, whose names are not written in the book of life of the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Why do you think Lamb slain is used here? So that you would know which Messiah you're following. that you would not be following this false Messiah, but your name would already be in the Lamb that was slain for our sins, that brings us forgiveness, whereby we are qualified and fit to call ourselves servants of the living God. God's elect that were chosen before the foundations of this world, as it is written in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4. All others, that is to say, those that sleep, those that are ready for a rapture, will worship the spurious Messiah, because the spurious Messiah will be crying, "I have come to rapture you away." For you see, the political beast is not the one you really have to worry about. The one you're going to worry about in spurious Messiah is about to step on the scene. God's word, God's truth, it shall happen. Verse 9, if any man have an ear, let him hear. In other words, what it's saying, if your name is in the book, you have an ear to hear. And others would simply probably smile and turn the knob. But some of you have a destiny, and you've known there was more to God's word than you had been taught. And you've known it since you were a child. Verse 10. He that leadeth into captivity shall go into captivity. In other words, those that study from commentaries and never really get into the manuscripts of God's word, if the blind lead the blind into the captivity of the wicked one, then that's it. He that killeth with the sword must be killed with the sword. Here is the patience and the faith of the saints. In other words, there is destiny within that verse. And many of you share in it. Now, verse 11, here comes the religious beast. If you want to, now, watch the word beast. It simply means the religious figure, the religious living being. That's what it means, okay? Verse 11, listen carefully. And I beheld another beast coming up out of the earth. This is symbolic. And he had two horns like a lamb. Now hold it right there. Hold the thought. He looked like the lamb slain, quite frankly. He looked like a beautiful lamb, the Lamb of God. In other words, he looked like Jesus. He looked like Messiah. Like the lamb slain. And he spake as a dragon. Do you know why? He was the dragon, that old serpent, the son of perdition, the little horn, the lawless one. These are all names used in the manuscripts concerning this entity, Satan. He looks and pretends to be Jesus on Mount Zion, as we read in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, claiming to be God, claiming to be Jesus, but his voice is the dragon because he is the dragon. It's not the voice of God which sets free, but the voice of the dragon which brings into bondage, captivity, enslavement. These, my friends, are the events that God's word states will come to pass. You can read of it more in Mark 13, where it states even what you will do when that comes to pass. But you have these flyaway doctrines, butterfly specialists, in the last 150 years that have been teaching this dogma. And it simply will not fly. This is how it shall come to pass. And unfortunately, those that believe that the first Messiah, the first supernatural Messiah that sets foot on this earth is Jesus, or in the clouds, if you like. But don't forget what I taught you about clouds in 1 Thessalonians. They're ready to go any moment. And this is what their mindset is. Any moment, there's going to appear he in the clouds that's going to say, I've come to take you home. Are they going to go with him? The first woman in the field went. She was the whore of Revelation chapter 13, 7 and 17. And most churches today teach, I want to be that first one taken, that old whore that's taken by Antichrist. Showing you the sin of being a commentary student rather than a student and scholar of God's Word. With the knowledge that the mindset is as it is, and you know it is, you know the any moment doctrine, when this Lamb appears, looks like the Lamb, looks like Jesus. This is what happens, verse 12. And he exerciseth all the power of the first beast, that's to say, he exercises and controls power of the one world political new order before him, and causeth the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the new world order, whose deadly wound was healed. Verse 13. Now remember the mindset and look at the people. Think about it. Listen to the word. And he doeth great wonders, so that he maketh fire come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. Do you know what that is? That fire is? It's lightning in the Greek. He can snap his fingers and lightning will come from heaven. Hey, if I held an old-fashioned tent revival, and that's what he's going to be holding, religious meetings. He's a religious leader. And if I have a crowd of thousands on top of thousands, and I snap my finger, and being a supernatural power as he is, and lightning come crashing to the earth, do you think they're going to believe him? Especially if he, boom, you don't think I'm Messiah? Boom, and the lightning hits. And this is only one of the things he will do. And he'll say, yes, little children, I've come to take you home. We're going to fly out of here. I have your ticket ready. I've got you a ticket ready for my heaven. Do you know what his heaven is? It's hell. You got your ticket, friend? It's free. He's coming very soon. You want a ride? Have you studied your father's word, or are you ignorant of God's word? I'm just trying to help you, and I say it in love, not in because I'm on an ego trip or something, because God's word is true. What other things does he have stored in his little bag of tricks? Hey, if you don't believe it now, believe it when you see it come to pass, because it will happen before very long. Who knows? It will happen in this generation. Verse 14. And deceiveth them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he hath power to do in the sight of the one new world order, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the new world order, which had the wound by sword and did live. In other words, that their little one world order and way of living, that they had better worship peace on earth. After all, I can tell you what his words will be, most likely. Is it not written that I am the Prince of Peace? And I have brought peace to the world with the new world order. And in performing these miracles, believe upon me, convert to me, worship me, for I am Jesus. There's just one thing I want you to know. He's a liar. And he's not Jesus. And the Bible teachers of this land should be teaching the fact that this wicked one, the first tribulation, is his. And he will bring it upon Christians. And Christians have allotted to them by our Heavenly Father the gospel armor that you're supposed to have on. Your britches are supposed to be held up with truth. And if it's held up with commentaries, you're going to lose them, friend. Now, I talk pretty plain, but I do it in love. Because I am not in the business of trying to please men, but to teach the word of your Father. It's cunning. And as we look around the world today, and as we see the new world order beginning to solidify more and more day by day, oh, we're doing a wonderful thing, and I'm glad. As a matter of fact, 2 days before the president announced it, I stated we should do something. And we have. Yep, it's a new year, and they got some fireworks over as the president is just off the coast there. They got a little, first time they've had a mortar fire, and really a good little shootout, but our people and the New World Order's people are kind of out of it, or at least we pray they are. But it is New Year's, and it is time we set our watches, we synchronize them for the time. The time is this. God's word declared that a new world system would rise from all the nations, tongues, and peoples it has. God's word states that a deadly wound would be received by that organization. It hasn't yet, but you'd better be ready for it. And just as sure as that happens, you can rest assured the Lamb that looks like the Lamb of God will appear in the clouds saying rapture, and all peoples that are not trained in God's word, the truth that sets them free, will be taken captive by the sword, which is the tongue of the dragon, that is nothing but pure lies about his religion. Snapping fingers, lightning coming from heaven, and that just for starts. Hey, the people of this world will worship a rock star. What do you think they're going to do when a supernatural entity is able to perform, not parlor tricks, not some little simple illusion that a magician might bring to pass, but de facto law of nature, lightning on request? They'll worship him, all right. They'll believe whatever he says. But you won't, for your name is written in the true Lamb's book. And you know beforehand. Do you know what prophecy is? Prophecy is to declare a thing before it comes to pass. God has done that. And it shall come to pass. But you are not going to be deceived. So, Happy New Year. Every year is a good year when you're in the Lord. Keep your eyes open, my friends. Watch the world situation. I will be helping you in this as we move along. It's been a good year. Many prophecies fulfilled within the past. But I'm going to tell you, the year coming is going to be very exciting for students of the Word of God. All right, that's my New Year's message. Enjoy it. Our Father's in control. And we have power over all our enemies. And we grow every day. I thank our Father for that. Happy New Year. All right, God bless you. You listen a moment, won't you please? The minor prophets. Certainly nothing minor about them as far as their importance in the Word of our God. The minor prophets are like reading tomorrow's newspaper. That is to say, literally bringing the facts of those events that shall transpire in your lifetime to life on the living pages of Almighty God's Word. The minor prophets are so jam-packed with excitement as they tell you what tomorrow brings, as they instruct you into prophecies even concerning Antichrist. And these 12, could we say that one was from each of the tribes? Not really. But then it would not surprise me when we get there, we find out this is true. It tells us about Russia and the United States. It tells us of how things shall be in the final conflict. The minor prophets, hey, I know you're going to enjoy them. All right. Bless your hearts. There we are back again. Hey, let's have the 800 number. I'm going to show it to you. And if you have a question or comment, please share it, won't you? No longer can we answer all questions. We'll take a crack at it. 1-800-643-4645. That number good from Puerto Rico, all through the United States, including Alaska and Hawaii, and our wonderful neighbors to the north, Canada. The 800 number good in all those places. The if you wish to pay your own toll, the area code is 501-787-6026. Those of you that listen by radio or shortwave radio around the globe, then your announcer at the end of the hour will give you our mailing address. It's always good to hear from you. We love you all around the world. Our Father's Word is written to all His children. Now, if you have a prayer request, take it straight to Him. He's your Father. He's listening. Let's talk to Him. Father, we ask that as we come to you that you lead, guide, direct, touch, prosper. Thank you for this year. Look over our servicemen from all the nations. Protect them. Touch and heal in Jesus' precious name. Thank you, Father. Okay. That's to say our servicemen and women. And I won't go into that because I have my own opinions about it. But on a humanitarian, it's good to have our people serve them, both men and women. Okay, Don from California. What world event must take place before Antichrist comes to earth? I think we covered that pretty well in the lecture. The world, new world order, the one world political system, must receive a deadly wound. And then is the moment that Michael, as it is written in the 12th chapter, the chapter preceding the one we were reading in this lecture, will cast him to this earth, and he has but a short season. Heaven will rejoice at that time, but it states, woe, woe to you on earth, because Satan is angry and he knows he has but a short time. So get ready for it. Cindy from Nebraska, if you have time to answer two quick questions, I would appreciate it. My husband would like to dance, but he feels like it is something that might be a wrong thing to do. Not if it's a dance in good taste, square dance. David danced, played and danced before the king. It's the fruit of a thing. If the fruit is that the dance brings forth relaxation and enjoyment, that's fine. If the fruit is that it turns into dirty dancing and you end up somewhere where you're not supposed to be, that's bad. All right? So a Christian tests the fruit of a thing. All right? Now, what's your other? Is it all right to wear jewelry? Well, kind of the same thing. Use common sense. If you're going to dress up, if you're going to wear enough jewelry that you look like a prostitute walking down the street, naturally, that's wrong. Everything in moderation. God is a great believer in moderation. Good taste, good judgment. Jack from Kentucky. You say the Bible says there is nothing new under the sun. Have you found anything in the Bible about perpetual motion? Well, that's an interesting question. That's a new one on me, I have to admit. Usually there's only about 400 questions that are asked. And that is a new one. Let me think. Just a quick, real quick spin around here. Unless we were to call the universe itself perpetual motion, I suppose that it isn't found in the scripture, all right? Is it possible an equal balance of God's natural laws would produce perpetual motion? Don't ask me to explain that. I'm not sure I could, all right? Verse 2, the second question. The earth is millions of years old. Do you think there are other world ages other than the three you teach? This is from a new student. Jack, it's good to have you with us. You're asking some pretty good questions. No, there are only three Earth ages, but that last one, if you think the first one was a whopper as far as millions of years, wait till you see the last one. Talk about millions of years, it's forever. All right, but there's only three of them. Dwayne from California. You state that we immediately go back to the Father at death, but I have trouble understanding this due to these scriptures. Ecclesiastes 9:5 and 12:7. Well, Wayne, I don't see how that could be any problem to you. You certainly have not studied Ecclesiastes with me, or you would be familiar with the Hebrew idiom written to the man that walks under the sun, which means in this chunk of meat. And if you read real closely, chapter 9, it's talking about the flesh, because it starts out saying a dead lion or a living dog is better than a dead lion. Meaning the lion's flesh is dead and is going to rot, and the dog's flesh is at least going to live. All right? What it says is the flesh is put in the ground and it doesn't know nothing, it don't remember nothing, and nobody's going to remember it. You know why? It goes back to dust. But here you quote Ecclesiastes 12:7, which says, dust to dust, that means the flesh, like the old lion's body or a man's body, but the spirit instantly goes back to the father that gave it. What's wrong with you? I have trouble in my mind fathoming why you're having a problem with that. Psalms 46, read it. And read it as it speaks, all right? Matthew 22:32. Read it. John 5:28. Well, you might have a little trouble with that one. John 5:28 simply was Jesus was saying that there were going to be, when he was resurrected, there were going to be some graves open and people would come out that were in them at that time. It was a one-time miracle to show people that Christ had conquered death. That's all. All right? Let me give you one, Dwayne. I want you to make a note of 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 7 and 8. And listen to the word, all right? Read carefully. Rightly divide the word. Daryl from Connecticut. How do you know we are doing the will of God when we are comfortable in our minds, but there is so much turmoil and evil going on around us? Well, you know it when you're familiar with his word, Daryl, all right? And also, you can feel it, as you basically indicate here that you can. And it doesn't matter. Take Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. They were very well doing what the Father wished them to do. They refused to bow to the beast system that Nebuchadnezzar brought forth. They were walking around in a fiery furnace, and there was a whole bunch of turmoil going on around them, flames licking at their very heels, but they didn't even get singed. So as long as we're doing God's work, the turmoil has nothing to do with it, all right? Study his word, and you will know. I.S. from Seattle. What does it mean to repent? Isn't it next to impossible to completely change your ways? Well, God knows what we're capable of, all right? Yeah, we're going to slip and fall again. But in loving him for his forgiveness, to have that change of heart and mind, and to tell him, I'm sorry, Father, I love you, please forgive me. It goes a long ways with him. I've got to say, for the benefit of those that think they got to be little Miss Perfect or Mr. Exact, when one of your own children come to you, when they spill a glass of milk, and you scold them and tell them to be more careful, or we could have used something else, but this will do, and they come up to you and they say, I'm sorry, will you please forgive me? Are you going to forgive them or not? When they repent, that's repentance. Are you just going to run them away? See? That's the way our Father is. Repent. Celestine. What a pretty name. Celestine. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly. If someone borrows money from you and refuses to give it back, what should I do? See a lawyer? Or does the scripture say what to do? The scriptures would tell you, go first to the individual privately or by telephone and tell them we had made this agreement and so forth, and you're not paying back that you owe. If that fails, then take another person with you, a Christian, naturally. And with both of you, ask them and say, would you be willing to let a Christian arbitrate if you have a problem with paying me back? If the person does not go with that, then sue it out of them, okay? You have every right to go to the, take them to court and get your money, girl, all right? Michael from Wisconsin. I want to back up. God does not expect us to be second-class citizens and let people run over us, all right? We don't have to put up with that kind of stuff. Sue them after you give them the opportunity. Michael from Wisconsin, am I supposed to take Revelation literally? Well, Michael, do you understand the symbology used? If you understand the symbology, such as we studied in this particular lecture, of taking this so-called seven-headed monster and realize that it is a one-world system, you better take it literal, but you better be able to ascertain that is symbolic before you start taking it literal. Okay, David from California. Jesus told the disciples they were like gods. Does this mean we all have a little of God in us or what? Well, you didn't word it quite like you did. Jesus didn't tell them they were like gods, all right? He told them they were gods. But it's just like, I have two sons and they're mine. They're my sons. And the fact that we are gods means he owns us. We're his children. It doesn't mean that we are a god, all right? Let's keep our ducks in a row, all right? I know this throws a lot of people, but it gets a lot of people on a lot of ego trips and in much trouble. It simply means God owns every soul in the world. Joseph from Connecticut. I have a brother who is an alcoholic. He's been through every treatment center in the state, but it does no good. His liver is gone. He's diabetic. He has two artificial hips. I just don't know what else to do. Do you have any suggestions? Turn it over to God. That's all you can do. When you've done all you can do, and let God deal with it and pray that God's will be done. It's not necessary that you do anything else. Greg from Connecticut. I have a problem. In other words, the answer is God won't do anything about it. He may call him home in that condition. But at least it's God's will then. All right? Turn it over to the Father and then you are released and find peace of mind with it. Greg from Connecticut, I have a problem with two Bible verses. Galatians 2:16 says, knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. And then in James 2:24 it says, you see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. Well, now again, reread them, Greg. In Galatians, it was an either-or, all right? The law can't save you. And the law, in a sense, is works, doing the law. But it is your faith in Christ that saves you because you're going to sin. And when you sin on repentance, he's got to forgive you, and it is your faith that brings you into that. Now, what it says in James 2:24, if you understand God's word, which is the law, you're going to do his works or you're not worth your salt. You're not even worth having in heaven. I tell you what, quite frankly, somebody that won't be a doer, I don't want them in this ministry. Just go on somewhere else. I don't like dead wood. It gives me the creeps. People that don't want to work for the Father, it may be just planting a seed or it may be just being a decent person. I don't know what your gift is, but I hate a spiritual sluggard. That's a spiritual lazy person. A person that doesn't realize that your righteous acts consist in heaven are the fabric that makes the fine linen you wear, or you're going to be naked as a jaybird, and I'm speaking literal. How would you like to stand before the world and by your Savior naked as a jaybird If you don't do any work for him, that's exactly where you're, what you're going to be. You'll make it, but boy, will we laugh at you. I'm jesting in a way, but at the same time, I'm very serious. To be spiritual naked is far more embarrassing than to be physically naked. And if you're not a doer of God's word, if you don't work at it, hey, I don't even want you around me. Just go to some commentary peddler. Go somewhere else. Okay, and I'm not talking to Greg. I know Greg is a doer, but I'm talking about in general. I hate dead wood. That's why our computer is set up that if we don't hear from somebody every 5 months, there's no choice. It drops them just like that. I like to get rid of the dead wood, let it go off somewhere else and deteriorate, all right? Be a doer of God's word, and then you are riches. There's only one thing you take with you when you go to heaven, and that's your works. You'll find that written in Revelation chapter 14. Hey, Happy New Year. It's a wonderful time. We love you all. If we have helped you, help us to help others and help us keep coming to you. Once you do that, but there's one thing, I sure love you because you enjoy studying our Father's Word more in depth. Keep your eyes open in this generation. Keep your eyes open, especially in this coming year. It promises to be a very exciting year. All right. Main thing, stay in His Word. Every day in it's a beautiful day. Do you know why? Doesn't matter what year it is. You know why? Jesus is the living Word.
Thank you for joining Shepherd's Chapel in today's study of God's Word. If you would like to further your studies with Pastor Murray, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. For a free introductory package, which includes Mark of the Beast audio tape, a monthly newsletter, a complete tape catalog, and a new student tape list, write Shepherd's Chapel, Gravette, Arkansas, 72736. Feel free to call 800-643-4645 24 hours a day to request the free introductory package or to leave questions for Pastor Murray to answer on the air. We at Shepherd's Chapel would like to thank you for joining us each Monday through Friday at this same time for Shepherd's Chapel.
Book of James. James is a book that I know you'll enjoy because it is written, when you rightly divide it, to those that are scattered abroad. That's to say the 12 tribes, the 10 tribes scattered abroad, being very specific in your freedom of Christianity, the repentance, giving much personal instruction as far as controlling our thoughts and finding peace.